I'm going to call the Bucksport Planning Board meeting for Tuesday, November 7th to order. Roll call.
James Morrison.
Yes, sir.
Brian McDonald.
Here.
David Grant.
Here.
Steve Feit.
Here.
Edward Belcher.
Here.
George Hanson.
Here.
Christopher Johnson.
Here.
Review and acceptance of minutes of the October 3rd, 2017 meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written of the October 3rd, 2017 meeting.
I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor? Chair report, there is none. Code enforcement report.
I just never have a report.
Nothing. Limited public forum.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you had nothing.
Oh, I thought you had nothing.
I asked you why the chair never has a report.
Oh, I said something.
Same answer I always get.
Because you'd be out of the job.
Yeah, you'd be fired.
I have a few things I'd like to update you on. If you didn't know, the town council has given preferred developer status to Dick Campbell and two other parties to take a shot at saving Wilson Hall.
How many years does he have to have that?
Sorry. They've given him 5 months with a possible extension of another 3 months, or two extensions, I think, of 3 months. His idea is, I think he describes it as a boutique health care service or something like that, caring for 24 patients. And part of the building, he says, will be reserved for a community use. That's all we know so far. There's nothing to look at, nothing to read. They're working on that now. The process has begun, I guess, to develop a plan, flesh out the details, and come up with the financing. So time will tell.
That's not too much.
Did you say 24 people?
Yes.
I was there. Do you mind if I...
Go ahead.
He's also in partnership with two people out of Virginia, a gentleman that's been a developer for quite some time that has done development work in the same area, this high-end, as he said, salon, whatever they... I'm sorry, boutique.
Yeah, boutique.
Boutique health care for elderly, extreme need people.
Oh, wow.
And he also is in partnership with a group called CEI.
CEI, yeah.
Was that what it was? And they're like an investment group, and they help with investments. They help you get investments, and they help you come up with solid plans on which to invest. And that's as much more than what you've already said.
So the plan to take temporary measures to protect the roof, I put on hold now. As you recall, the town council had approved up to $30,000 to be spent on doing that. We received a couple bids from contractors. Both were under the $30,000 cap. But because of this developer status now, I think we're holding off on that for the time being, which means that Wilson Hall will go through another winter, another rainy season of
survive.
No protection. I have no doubt that that building is going to hold up, the roof is going to hold up for quite a long time. As long as the supports that we put in there do their job, the building is not going to collapse. I'm not worried at all about it. It's just, it's really a shame that water still can come in as much as it can, because that's what's killing that building. But we'll have to wait until next year before we can take another look at that. The next thing I want to mention to you is the Ordinance Committee is meeting this Thursday at 6:30 to discuss possibly amending the town's sign ordinance to deal with banner content, I guess is the best way to put it. There was a banner that was submitted for the Fright of the Fort event that had an image on it that I, among others, thought was offensive, had the potential of being offensive to the public. It was a picture of a nuclear mushroom cloud.
Yikes.
That was the theme of the fight at the fort. What was it, Rich?
Nuclear attack on the fort.
Yeah, going atomic, I think.
Yeah, going atomic.
Yeah. So that was the theme of the event this year, and they used that image. I looked at the signed ordinance, and there really was nothing in there that I could apply to deny permission to put the banner up. As it turned out, all three spaces on the banner poles were occupied with banners until October 23rd, I think it was, when one banner came down, and I put that banner up. It was up for probably four or five days until the event was over. But in discussion with the town manager, she thought that we should take a look at the signed ordinance to see if it's something we could put in there to prevent this from happening again. So they'll be discussing that at 6:30 on Thursday. Also on Thursday, the town council is going to be looking at accepting Royal Ridge Lane, which is a subdivision road that's, you know, it's a subdivision you approved many years ago, and that we'll be taking a look at.
You think that will be favored?
Well, they've been trying to get some verification that all the DEP requirements have been met. The DEP had stormwater management requirements that they stipulated in their approval of the subdivision. So
I thought he's pretty conscientious.
I think they'll find that all those requirements have been met. The question is, once the town takes responsibility for the road, they also take responsibility for maintaining those stormwater management features, which may or may not be a problem, but you know, something they have to be aware of. Right now, it's the responsibility of the subdivision developer to maintain those stormwater management features. So that'll be looked at Thursday night.
Did the rest of the road get paved?
Yes, it's all paved.
Yeah, it's all paved. Hmm? I think it's all just ditching. I think it's all just ditching and culverts.
When was the last time this occurred, where a subdivision, where the town took over a subdivision road? Remember.
Not in my time here, not in the last 20 years. I think Seekins Lane, I believe, was part of a subdivision. Moosehorn Drive, I think.
Turkey Path?
No, not Turkey Path.
The town took over that road.
Which one?
Turkey Path. The town took it over. It used to be a dirt road, and the town took it over, paved it, and...
That wasn't a subdivision.
No,
it wasn't. Not a subdivision. It's one of the last roads that I remember they took over. Yeah.
Did they take, like, Scott Lane and Evergreen Drive?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, those were subdivisions, and I believe those were private roads and taken by the town.
It was a subdivision I did
Park Estates,
20 years ago.
Everything in Park Estates?
Yes, that's Woodland Heights, Forest Hill.
Forest Hill.
The town maintains and plows all those now. Those subdivisions. Mm-hmm. Wow. Because I know a long time ago they didn't want to do that stuff. They didn't want some responsibility at the cost of it.
Speaking of subdivisions, you can expect probably in December or maybe at the January meeting a proposed contract zone for a 100-lot mobile home park on Silver Lake on Central Street. Property owned by Mike Hawes. He's working on getting the documents together. He's hired a CES.
You say 100?
100-lot. Well, a 100-lot mobile home park and a community center, which will be available for use by the general public.
That's where I'd want to go.
Is the sewer going to extend out there? Or
well, I don't really want to get into that right now, George. Those are questions you'll be asking the applicant. He's not proposing a sewer extension, but you know, that's something that you'll certainly be taking a look at. The next thing I want to brief you on is on Upper Long Pond Road, there have been multiple instances of people taking campers and parking them on their property and moving in, calling them home sweet home. The one that I'm dealing with most recently is coming to the town council on Thursday night to express their concerns about how our ordinances impact their ability to do that. Because right now, the town code prohibits the occupancy of an RV year-round. You can occupy it seasonally, which means no longer than 7 months in a calendar year. But these folks are planning on living in it year-round. They also have decided to put in their own septic system without benefit of a design or permit.
They own this land?
Yes.
Oh.
So I'm working with them on that primarily right now, of getting a proper septic system design done and permitted. There's also another camper that was set up right along the road that he decided to take his wastewater and drain it into the ditch.
Oh, my God.
So I asked him to put a stop to that, and I believe he has. I haven't been out to verify that, but I believe he has stopped that.
Can they use toilets? Chemical toilets?
Sure.
Like porta potty, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. The first people I mentioned have an outhouse. They dug a hole in the ground.
Yeah. They have to have a permit for an outhouse?
Yes. Yes.
No,
and they decided to dig a trench in the ground, fill it with stone, stick a pipe in it, and cover it up. And that was their great water.
They called it. That's a
classic.
No, it's very common for that.
For what?
It's a slit trench. There's a name for it. They put a tank in, let it run into a trench of 100, 200 feet long.
A tank and a trench with a pipe in it. Yeah. Pipe in it.
There's a name.
Called a leach field.
There's a name for it. I can't think of it. Oh, it doesn't matter.
So they have plans to build there eventually, and they're in the process of having a proper septic system design done. And they'll be bringing that in for permitting and start that process. But I'm finding that this is, for some reason, this is the way things are going on Upper Long Pond Road. These two I mentioned aren't the only two that I've had to deal with, people doing things without permits and making things unsanitary.
So what do you do?
The first one I dealt with was they were draining their wastewater into an old abandoned well. I thought that that was okay. So they now have a septic system, and they have a well and all. You know, they came around and finally did what all our ordinances require them to do, but it took a while.
No question there. Is there still pressurized water requirement?
Yes. If you're living year round in a dwelling in Bucksport, the ordinance requires you to have pressurized water. And if you have pressurized water, you need to have a full septic system, not a primitive system. A primitive system is one that is an outhouse and a great water disposal field. A full system is a tank and a disposal field.
And so an RV hooking up to a prepared septic would be considered pressurized water?
Well, one doesn't.
You can't legally live in an RV, so you wouldn't necessarily be required to have pressurized water if you can't legally occupy year-round.
Nah, code says you can't live in an RV year-round.
That's correct, yeah.
So that precludes the whole pressurized water deal.
Yeah. But my main concern for any RV is that you're properly disposing of your waste. So that's what I'm focusing on right now on these two parties on the Upper Long Pond Road.
Are they giving you a hard time?
Well, the one who was draining his waste into a ditch was cooperative. The people who are coming to the council meeting Thursday night weren't initially cooperative, but I think they're coming around. I'm willing to negotiate how things happen with them because their main concern is finances.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So
as the property values start to decrease on the Upper Long Pond Road because we've got RVs lined up along the edge there. So much for the people who can afford what, you know.
What I have found, though, from the people I've spoken to who live out there is they have a complaint, too, that I haven't had a chance to look into, but they're complaining about sludge being dropped on the road between the town's sludge storage site and the composting facility is about a mile up the road from that.
Yeah.
The operator of the sludge disposal facility on Heritage Park Road is taking the sludge from the town's storage site on Upper Long Pond Road and transporting it to his composting facility and apparently dropping some along the way. I've not had a chance to look into that yet, but I certainly will. And if that's happening, I'll ask him to stop. Because the Great Pond Mountain Conservation Trust has a recreational trail system up there. And Sherry Domina mentioned to me one day that somebody who was had parked by the town's sledge store facility and was walking up to the go to the trail system had to stop and turn around because the road was covered with septic waste.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
So we can't let that happen.
That is definitely not good.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Well done.
That's the poop.
Limited public forum. This is an opportunity for the public to address the board on matters related to land use or planning in the town of Bucksport. So open the limited public forum.
Said limited, that must mean you.
You're our only choice.
If anybody wants to see a project that Dick Campbell has done, you can look up the McClellan. It's a project that's been done in Bath.
Sounds familiar.
And that's his most recent project that's going through right now.
That's in Bath, I thought it was in Brunswick.
Well, Brunswick, yeah, it's one of those two down that way. Thank you, Jim. He's right in Brunswick. But yeah, you can Google the McClellan. The ADAPT group, the group with the $200,000 EPA area-wide planning grant. There was an open house held where two of the people from the consulting firm, a member from Eastern Maine Development Corporation, and myself spent the day at Wilson Huff at the Harding School Building from 10 to 7 to get public comments. And one day we were able to get roughly between 75 and 100 visitors into the building. And they've since moved the survey online for those who were unable to attend on the Facebook page. ADAPT Bucksport is the Facebook page. So if you haven't had a chance to take that questionnaire survey, then take a few minutes to take a look at it. And the town... at the last town council meeting, the town manager brought up the old Sheehan Florist building. The town's looking into different alternatives for that building. One that was mentioned was purchasing it, leveling it, and extending the parking lot. I plan to bring to the Economic Development Committee a different idea, maybe trying to save that building and incentivize someone for rehabbing it and putting it back on the... I mean, it's on the tax roll now, so... You know, Pam's still paying her taxes on the building and whatnot, but instead of losing another building to a parking lot in town, try to figure out something else that we could do that would be more meaningful.
So I got a second floor. Is that? Doesn't have a second floor.
It does. There's an apartment up there, and good grief. I can't remember who that person was that was the last one to live up there, but he's been deceased for over 25-plus years, so that tells you what kind of condition that apartments in. The building itself is pretty rough, but I met with Danny Burpee and we discussed that, you know, with a little bit of, and Pam and her husband, I think Sam, they've been working on the building because it was broken sills, which has been a big issue that was flooding down below, but apparently they've been working on that to try to salvage what they can. But at this point, the building can't be rented out or anything, so that's why it's sat vacant. But she does dress it up at the holiday time for the town when we had the lights parade and the decorating. The public's limited is done.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I have a note on that, the thing with the parking lot. Every time I come into town, I take a trip down the area of Route 15 that they now call Main Street, and it averages 25 to 45 empty parking spaces on Main Street each time. I count them every time I come in. And as far as putting a parking lot goes in there, I don't know if it's something that's going to be used that much at present, you know, versus what they have for parking spaces already available.
Sure. You were all set.
Yep.
Yeah. A little bit, we may have already talked about this last meeting, I don't know, but as far as the ADAPT meeting goes, it was revealed at that meeting, the general consensus of the folks that did the survey, did the testing, that they were, felt the testing results were positive, more positive than negative. There are some issues with some of the locations, different issues. But overall, they were pleased with the results that they got on those test pits. I did ask the gentleman if he would share his report, blueprints, whatever the words I'm looking for there. And they said they will eventually. They gave a quick PowerPoint of the results of the survey that day. Then they said they would do a more complete PowerPoint, which I hope they hope to have in a couple weeks. And I'm not sure when it will come out. But at that time, they hope to have a synopsis or a summary of what they found out with those pit tests. And that they would get that back out as far. I urge them as quick as possible. I urge them to stay in touch with the town and the public as often as they possibly could. And from my standpoint, I'm kind of disappointed they haven't done that. But I think their methodology says the Facebook and the website might be adequate. But I'm not sure what they'll do going forward. On the Wilson Hall, the only thing I can tell the group is a citizen came in a couple days ago, few days ago, and asked me if I would type up a letter, which I did, and email it out, which I did to a group of people who were identified as the groups that are going, having activities, the Main Street groups, the chamber, and all that. Attached to that email was a sketch drawing of a potential first floor public area on Wilson Hall. The developer would like to get some information or feedback as soon as possible on groups who are active in the town being interested in maybe utilizing them, taking advantage of that space. That email was sent out Thursday. I'm not involved with this other than I did this gentleman a favor to get his message and his sketch out, and I said I would do that, which I did, and then I followed it up with a reminder email that they really want to get the answers to these kind of questions done as quickly as possible because the developers are interested in moving on this. That's all I can tell you about Wilson Hall. It is just a letter saying, what are you guys interested in? And for the most part, I think it went out to six different groups. And they said, sure, but does it cost? Everybody was concerned it's going to cost in order to use this building if this ever does happen. So that was the only involvement or anything I've got for information. I don't know if I sent that to you on. I don't think I did. You may have got a copy.
I got a copy.
Okay. That's it from me.
Seeing nothing else, I'll close the limited public forum. Unfinished business? None. New business? None. Administrative business? None.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion. Land uses in the industry development and industry development shoreland overlay districts.
So this is on the agenda. You may recall back in, I think it was February, I provided you with some suggested changes to consider as possibilities for new land uses to be allowed in the industry district. At that time, you decided that you didn't really want to get too much in depth about that because the comprehensive plan was still being worked on, and you thought it would be better if you simply wait until the comprehensive plan was done. Well, it's done now. It's been adopted by the town. It's in effect. And the plan recommends that at some point in time, the town should take a look at whether changes need to be made to allow more uses in that area of town. So I put together a list of the land use categories we have now in our land use ordinance with a description of what uses in each category is currently allowed in the ID and IDO districts, and asked this board to think about whether they wanted to recommend any other uses from those categories to be allowed in the ID and IDO district. It's not something that you necessarily have to get into now unless you want to start a discussion about it. At some point in time, I think there will be discussion needed because there may be, as the comprehensive plan recommends, ideas brought forward to allow different uses in those districts. So it's going to have to go through you eventually, because you have the authority to propose changes to the land use ordinance. That's where it begins. It starts with you. You make recommended changes. It goes to the town council for a final decision. So I'm bringing this back to the board now to see what you want to do with it. But instead of me proposing uses that might make sense allowing there, I thought I would toss it back to you and let you come up with these uses if you think you'd like to do that at this point in time.
Would this go to a public hearing eventually, or could it be a good idea to invite the public in for comments before we...
Well, at this point, Chris, what I'm suggesting you do is just start an informal discussion. You know, there's no proposed amendments to the land use ordinance that are being submitted to you for review. It's just to talk about.
Okay. The other question I have is, are these, all these highlighted words, these are all identified or in the
those are the names of the land use categories.
Right, and they're all the discussion of what those include. Because I can't remember off the top of my head. In other words, do I know what lodging land uses are, lodging land uses, or do I know what seasonal land uses are?
Every one of those categories has a description.
Okay, that's what I'm
saying. And appendix A.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, you also probably are aware that the town has a $200,000 grant that they received to prepare a study to do essentially the same thing, to make recommendations about what the future of that property should be based on input from the citizens of Bucksport and the professionals who've been hired to prepare the plan, their recommendations. I'm not sure if they're going to come to you to get some input or not. I think there's some interest in getting some feedback on how our land use ordinance impacts uses there, whether it be them sitting down with me or you. I'm not sure yet how that's going to play out. But
is the information that they are gathering, is that for viewing by the public at all at this point, or are we going to be waiting until they come up with their condensing of that and then bring it to our attention, or is it something we can go online or something somewhere? And
can you answer that question, Rich?
Yes, I'm on the adaptbucksport.com website, and you can find, I'm doing it from a phone, so under resources, there's a project fact sheet, a phase one environmental assessment, phase one appendix on there. They gave the members of the advisory committee, they gave myself, Sue, a member from EMDC, till this Thursday to make comments on the responses and the sheet that they're going to provide to the public. That will then also be on the site. So I don't know if everyone's put their input on there. I know I did mine the first day I got it and fixed some discrepancies. But that should be available, I'm hoping, on Friday, after that Thursday deadline. Okay, so, but everyone else is on there now. It's got the way it's zoned right now with the uses that the town's already approved. So that's what they're basing their studies off of, is what the site has been approved for now and the uses as... in the
event. Is that $200,000 grant the one that the Economic Development Eastern Maine
EMDC, they're administering that. And they hired a consultant firm, it's called Elan. That they're in the business of doing exactly this, providing consulting
not
services.
That they've had a totally successful record either.
Well,
yeah, but good that, point.
That all, every one of their projects is like this. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. You just don't know.
I went in and read some of their back projects, what they have been working on, and there's some great propaganda in all of those things. People are saying how great this is, how great that is, but they're not really pointing out the fact that nothing actually took place. All they pretty much are doing is going in and saying, well, good chance to put a park here, and and it's pretty much time after time they come out with the same conclusions on everything and pass them on. They have a project out in Iowa, I believe it is, where 7 different major railroad track lines come together, and they're going to turn it into a park and throw some ice cream parlors or whatever in there. You know, they really don't stick too seriously with any kind of industrial on pretty much anything I've read about that they've done. I was pretty quick to tell them that when I went to that meeting down there last week, too.
You know, we could have one large business eat up most of that site, or several small businesses. You know, it's if you end up having several smaller businesses, that's when you're likely to have conflicts occur, because there might be a business that's interested in locating there, but it's not currently allowed in our land use ordinance. You can deal with that, as the comprehensive plan suggests, through contract zoning. But that's not really the best tool to use. You know, I think I said you should think this out and take a look at that part of town and decide if it should remain predominantly industrial in nature or if it should take on a different character. You know, there's some parts of that are going to be industrial, continue to be industrial. The tank farm, the turbine, the landfill, the wooden yard, those are all have an industrial flavor to it, but there's a whole lot of land area that's now up for grabs. And as I said, it might end up being attracting smaller businesses that don't fit the large industry character that we've seen in the past there. So that's the whole idea of
but there are paths in the idea of that go up the river beyond, quote, that physical site.
Speaking of that, I gave you a copy. You should have a copy of the map. We have black and white copies, but this is the color. And I want to point out, there's actually an error that's not shown on this map. This has been fixed, so to speak, but not officially. If you can see this, let me point this out to you. This section right here, which goes up to the coal pocket. On the official map, the shoreland part is IDO. But beyond the shoreland, it's not ID. It's Route 15 residential commercial. That was a mistake. It should be as shown on here. This should all be IDO and ID. So that's a fix, I think.
Where would the IDO stop?
It stops right here.
Right, but where would it be on your idea? What would be right?
The lighter brown stuff that is.
I think as it's shown here is what the intent was.
So what you have there is correct.
No, it's, it, well,
what you want
this is
to be.
This is a colorized version of the official map that's showing what this really should be here, but it's not. It has not been officially made ID through here.
Just the dark brown part is.
Starting from this point right here,
right.
You see my finger. That point down is ID.
Right. So right now it's actually Route 15,
commercial residential. Yeah.
No, but you said the shore.
The shoreland.
The dark brown line.
The shoreland part
is
here
ID.
Is IDO, yes.
We understand that. But you're saying
the lighter brown part, you're saying, is from really Route
15.
From
where my finger is right here, all the way up, is not ID. Not like the official map.
Oh, okay.
I guess I get it, yeah. Officially right now.
Because there are houses.
It should have been purple on that map as it is right now, as it stands right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it should be. Is what it should be. The brown.
Yeah, this map was prepared by our assessor, and he made these changes on his own. I'm not sure why he did that, but that's what you have for. This is not the official map. The official map is actually black and white.
Well, the lighter brown part is just to the
Where are you seeing a lighter brown at? I'm just
on that.
I just see brown.
There's two browns.
Where? I see brown and purple.
Well, the brown, the hash
brown. The place brown. Right, that's Shoreland.
This is Shoreland here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's dark brown.
It just hatched. That's just hatching.
It's the same color Shoreland. Brown with black hatchings makes it look darker. Yeah.
It's an optical illusion.
Right now, the lighter brown area is just to the water side of the railroad track. That's all that's described there. That's not Route 15 that it's bordering.
No, but Route 15 comes out, what, is it 1,500 feet or something like that on both sides of Route 15?
Yeah,
is Route
15 you have the Route 15 zone that comes down on the shore side of River Road down to the railroad tracks.
Yep. And that's
and then beyond the rail tracks is shown an ID, but right. On the official map it's shown Route 15 residential commercial all the way to the shoreland.
Okay.
Well, that's nuts.
I mean,
AES tried to put a power plant there.
That was a mistake, I think, that it was overlooked. And the reason why it was overlooked because...
That's always been ID.
Because the map is broken up into two maps. We have a town-wide map that does not have the downtown area in it. And then we have a second map that has the downtown area. And it breaks right on that line there. So it was easy to miss that. That's one part of our official map that's a little unclear.
Hmm.
But we'll fix that.
Heads will roll.
It's not a big deal. I just wanted to point out to you that it's something we'll have to address at some point in time.
So then the shoreline zoning, when you go above that on Route 15, that hash area there, right? Is that
Harriman's Cove?
So that says that's Route 15.
Yeah, that's not colored right either. That should be that.
Well, I mean, you run over the, whatever you're doing there. You're running over the railroad track.
This shaded area here with the hash marks is actually commercial fisheries and maritime activities. There's no key on this map, so
yeah.
You can't tell. But that's what that is.
And you're going across the railroad track and meeting up on the other side of it too. Mm-hmm. You look at it, it crosses the track.
Yeah, so things are a little confused zoning-wise in that area that we need to take a closer look at. And maybe we can start that process at the next meeting. I can get some better representations of the official map for you to look at. Speaking of which, by the way, this huge map on the wall here, which has been here since 1995, is way out of date. It's not the official map anymore. Mm-hmm. That should go away. And we should have the official map up there. It's something I've been putting off doing, but it needs to be done.
Can a city do that?
No, yeah. No, they can't. They can't print large maps like that.
They do posters, they do banners and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do the maps though. But we can get them.
They can print almost that way.
Economic Development Committee should be able to fund that. We should have that digital as well.
He can digitize it.
Like an interactive website as well.
What I would like to do is have the maps printed up and framed. I mean, there's two maps, so both of them have to be on the wall, so they should be framed. And it replaces that's going to be a task, just taking that down. It's got a huge piece of plexiglass covering it. It's going to be a challenge getting it off the wall.
Have that down by tomorrow, right, Rich? I would like to really do that. I think that's a good idea. And I really think we ought to make sure everything's digitized so it's available to the public as well.
Right. But now is not the time to do this because there are going to be changes made to our zoning map in the near future. So that's why I wanted to wait.
What's the fiscal year?
July 1.
So can we budget for it for next year then? It's going to cost some money. Can we put it in the budget for?
It's not going to be a huge expense. We have money in the budget now. We'll cover that.
Great. I'm going to write that down. Remember it.
$1,000 or so.
First time you say there's no money, Rich.
So back to the topic of discussion here. Is there anything that you'd like to delve into, or do you want to think about it some more? Or wait until you get the report from the consultant and react to that?
I think that's probably enough.
So that report is asking...
Is that underway right now?
The public wants what they want, correct?
That's part of their work, is to get input from the public. Yeah.
So it may be... We could go off in one direction and the public could yank us back in another.
Well, again, I'm sorry. May I speak?
If you wish.
Thank you. They will, that's one part of their process, is going to the public. They're going to report back to the public, and then I think Rich, and they're going to census the public again, I believe, at least one more time, if I'm not mistaken.
For who's
yes,
the public?
The people who are willing to come to the location wherever they have these events and give them their opinion. That's who they would be. There's a disagreement. I've heard different end dates on this thing. I've heard December of 2018. Then I heard somebody say the last meeting, May of 2018, that they thought they would have this done. And this is from that group themselves. So I don't know how quick this is going to happen. But last time I knew, their goal was December 2018 was going to be the goal for getting done. And I think, keep in mind, too, is they're going to make recommendations. They're going to give options.
Yeah, that would be the first part. They're the ones that are doing this study. They're the ones that are going to tell us what we need. and then tell us what we need, and then we can say, well, wait a minute.
We need
some other things.
Because sewer tongue goes in the barrel. You don't know. You have no idea.
Especially since the people that are probably going to those meetings are, they have their own
agenda.
Agenda, yeah. And that could be difficult for what we really need to make it subsist and exist.
So where does that leave us?
Jeez, that's the conveyor right here going.
It's the heat.
Yeah. Something wrong with it. Must be from it.
Well, I don't know. Right at the moment, we don't know what's happening to that piece of property. What AIMA's doing? Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, what do we know from their side of this? Is there any word? People making offers? And I guess nothing.
Nothing's for sale yet, right?
There's a business on there right now that signed a 6-month lease.
Yeah.
Last year,
I said a sale.
What's that?
I said a sale. That has nothing to do with a sale.
Yeah. No, I showed the building. I showed the property twice last week, Thursday and Monday. I showed it once the week before. It was watered down. The survey that the citizens saw was watered down at my request, at the town's request. We watered it down because, the planning board's in charge of the land uses. And
so we're flexible,
right? You can make the ordinance for the land uses, and it's a private public partnership over there. We can come up with whatever we want, but at the end of the day, it's AIMA property,
right?
So, what you'll be getting back from this group here is recommendations. Long story short, it's up to this group and the council on what they'd like to see that property zoned as. As of right now, it's still
ID.
Still ID, an IDO. The phase 2 environmental study report should be out very shortly. At our last meeting, they had said they were waiting on 2 more pieces of the report to come back. Nothing major came out of there. Closer towards this side, they found a little concentration of,
They had lead emissions along the bank on this end.
Yeah.
That was the worst thing.
And that was the worst thing that they found.
And they don't know why they're working at that.
Who's doing the phase one, phase two?
Richard Campbell, Campbell Environmental Group. And then the EPA goes in and puts borings. So Richard did his findings, fact findings. They had people who worked there through different decades during the phase one findings to tell them when they worked there, some people from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and so on, tell them what was located where, at what point they were physically on the site, and show them that. Phase two, they came back on and did the drilling, the testing. We had a dry summer. There wasn't much water. What they told us at that meeting was typically you can get better results if there's water because if there is anything, whatever it compounds to do. I have to call them tomorrow. Not that it's going to help you tonight, but I have a call with them tomorrow because I'm going to be out for the rest of the week after that with my wife. But I can find out if there's any updates and forward to Jeff.
Well, the only other thing I can remember that as far as the borings go is that they were going to have there was a group coming in to check on their work. Mm-hmm. One and two, some of the areas that couldn't bore through because of rebar issues, and somebody was coming in with a bigger bit or a bigger unit to be able to get down through that particular one. But they've got charts showing exactly where they went, and then
boring logs.
Yep, all in the big blueprint mm-hmm. thing, and then. They were going to put together like a bullet list or a summation of what they did or didn't find in that.
What are they looking for? Heavy metals?
I can't answer.
Whatever.
Anything that they can find.
Yeah, groundwater contamination.
Whatever's existing. There's a cannery on that site called Before the Mills.
And steel mill.
Chemicals were different.
Steel mill before that.
And groundwater's turned over.
And what?
And a steel mill before that.
A steel mill?
Yeah, that was a steel mill.
Foundry? Back then it probably would have been called a foundry.
I have no idea what happened.
But it's not a love canal or anything.
It used to be a summer camp for the Indian
tribe. They have. Yeah, you can see that. Phase one assessment. So phase one, the entire, I think it's 187-page document, is located. Read the executive summary on page one. It'll tell you what you need to know. But that's on that Adapt Bus port. So I do not believe it's on our town website. Is that correct?
There's a link to that.
There is a link to it.
So this Richard Campbell Associates is not associated with...
That was what I was wondering.
No, he's not associated with them. We have him on our advisory committee so that we know if there's any major issues over there.
There's two Richard Campbells.
There is, yeah. Not Corrington representative Richard Campbell. Yeah. We'll call him Dick Campbell and this guy's Richard Campbell.
Where are they from?
Southern Maine, isn't it? Somewhere.
He is, and he does work with the Hancock County Planning Commission. He does a lot of work with Tom Martin. That's where I originally met him. He does a lot of the. They were down in Korea and Franklin, and they've done a lot of work out there. Matter of fact, his firm's doing another project here in Bucksport, the Quick Stop.
So, would it be fair to say, with the lack of any major contamination, that all uses are open?
GCA or
I would never say that myself. I would never assume that at all.
What, that they're not? Well, then what would
you use the word major contamination? I just think that's nebulous.
EPA violation.
Would be doing phase one
violation.
Yeah. So, GCA, I mean, they're a big environmental warning.
If all zoning uses are open, what would the board want to exclude, if anything?
Housing.
Too valuable for housing?
You don't get a lot of jobs out of housing. After they're built, you're done getting jobs out of them.
Yep, that's it. So that's a really good point. Mm. So eliminate housing, except maybe a college.
They're prohibited uses now.
What is?
Housing.
Housing is a prohibited use.
Mm-hmm.
The housing could be Walt Disney, I don't know what you call it, prefab type housing, you know, a company that does the prefab housing.
Well, that, I believe that falls under...
Production
land use, probably. And it says that that is allowed right now. You're allowed to go ahead and build or manufacture and take it off-site.
I thought there was some mention previously that no one wanted to see it made into like a scrap rendering site where the railroad would be used to bring and take metal scrap or something from. Hadn't we discussed that before?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
But it can't look much worse than it does right now.
That junkyard would be an improvement.
See, I don't know why Chinbro's little offshore wind turbine, how that's working out, and if that's going, now those are large structures that could be produced there.
Really, further down the river?
You've already seen what comes out of the little site at the old Eastern Pine Paper.
Yeah.
You've seen some of those things float down the river and go to Texas.
It'd be a hell of a lot easier to get them out to sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought I heard tell that they were going to be building these, the offshore wind things that are going to be working on them up in Brewer as well.
They do have some sort of a project up there. I don't know what it is. But.
Yeah. Timbro ends up getting in partnerships with some very large outfits.
Nothing's going on. It's piecework. That's all it is. It's no different than the old shoe factories. Just they've got welders and electricians, and then they go away and go somewhere else. And, I mean, that's great for a temporary fix, but most of the time the place is empty. And they gave that whole land away. They did some good work.
Yeah, I mean,
it's gone.
Well, I mean, that wasn't their intent was to...
I know.
To keep the modular work going.
No, I know.
Just,
oh,
yeah. They've been plenty of projects, they just didn't win them. So.
Right, they're kind of far away.
But that whole Gulf area is tied up now for potential use, again, of that kind of a... Here's one I was just thinking about. We had talked about, and I've mentioned this, about the mercury in the river and about becoming a remediation point. If they decided that they wanted to open up that property for remediation of river mercury, is there anything in here that will allow that to happen if they were importing it from barges and moving it onto railroad cars and hauling it out? Where would that come under here? Would that come under site work land uses? Or how would that, if they said we'd like to do that, where is that permitted in this list?
To do what exactly?
To bring in whatever mercury, sediment, sludges, whatever the term is, on barges and offloaded onto railroad cars, much like they're doing in Orrington right now, but they're doing it on land in Orrington, not bringing it in from the river. Putting it on railroad cars, putting a sealer piece on it, and sending it to Niagara Falls, if I'm not mistaken. With, if they decided they wanted to do something like that here, which they've done in New York, right, PCBs through General Electric, is that a permitted use on this list of things here?
Is that something even in the offing? I mean, the mercury's there, but...
I'm just theorizing. I'm free thinking. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
Where would that come in? If they came in tomorrow and said, would we say, well, it's not allowed?
Industrial land uses.
Yeah, industrial land use, yeah.
All allowed in ID and IDL.
That would cover it.
Yeah, I think so.
So they're bringing contaminated soils from Orrington down the river and offloading them here, right? Am I following you?
Maybe so.
They're offloading them here
mean try to clean up the river.
Right.
So what's happening with that material?
What material? The stuff in Orrington
now? It's going to Niagara Falls.
No, it's your scenario.
Well, it would be shipped out on rail cars.
So it's brought here. First, right?
It might be offloaded on a barge from a barge or a dredge when I'm started dredging. Brought that in on a barge, offloaded it onto railroad cars,
capped it and drove it away.
So nothing happens on site other than just securing it?
Yeah, transfer and secure and drive away.
No treatment or anything.
They're not doing that with Arlington, they're hauling it to, putting these big, I don't know if you've seen them, they've got the Thornwick cars, a big plastic cap, you've probably seen them go through Broome a few times, sealing it up and hauling it up.
Where did it take them to?
Last time I heard Niagara Falls, and I don't know what that means. I really don't know if they're hauling into Canada or what they're doing with it, I try not to follow it.
Solid waste disposal facility. A place where garbage, refuse, and recyclable materials are collected for processing and transfer to a licensed disposal or recycling site.
Did it, that's it.
That's an allowed use.
Yeah, thank you. Just thought I'd ask. I know they were, they smiled when I mentioned it at the meeting, and the reason they smiled is because they had experienced that, as Ed knows, out at some town right on the Hudson River with PCBs.
Oh, yeah.
GE came in and built all kinds of buildings and pulled a brand new pier out for the handle of the barge and the offloading and all that stuff. So who knows what's going to happen. But
there is a condition, however, for that land use. So the condition is that it can only be conducted by the town.
Well, there it is.
So, that would be a problem.
I've got a question, if I may. So what's that due to the landfill?
What landfill?
The landfill that AIM owns.
They would haul this away to somewhere else.
There's some processing.
You know they're pulling stuff out of Arlington now, and they're driving it away.
Right, right. No, I'm going a whole different scenario. Oh. By that definition, he just there's already a landfill on that property that, to me, seems like it would fit that definition, which still has capacity.
40% still, right?
It still has 40% capacity. Right. What you're saying here is that the only people that can use it is the town, not the property owner?
Right. If you're going to establish a solid waste disposal facility, the ordinance now says that can only be operated by the town.
We just got ourselves We just got ourselves a
job.
I'm feeling rich. We got ourselves a ski title. We got ourselves all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So the landfill at the mill property is a non-conforming use. It can continue. The CAPS landfill on Central Street, that's operated by the town. Transfer stations operated by the town. The scenario you described would be, it's sort of like it's the property would be like a weigh station. You bring the material in,
transferring it,
and ship it, and we can put it in containers and ship it out. So it's not really stored on the site. But the definition for solid waste facility includes processing. So you're processing the material by offloading it from barges and containing it and putting it on.
You aren't processing the material at all. You're only transferring it. You aren't altering that material in any physical way.
So letting it drain.
Huh?
Letting it drain.
Recycling is another.
Yeah. Well, you could use the coal silos for the transfer.
I'm sure they can pop into these cars and ship them.
That's the closest land use description I can attach to that. So
I'm feeling good.
I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but yeah, it's
a solid waste dump too.
You don't have any voters stick around.
I'll give if you give me $100, I'll prove you I have one. But I'm not going to get up and take my coat and show it to you.
Rich is proud. He's got his on. I got to go get one.
You're not going to make it.
Huh? You don't close late, do they?
Take you half an hour to get up the stairs. What are you up?
I'm up back.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I think it's time to. I'm not ready to have this discussion other than what we've already had, but I really think it's important to get on this and have this discussion as well with well, they are recorded, and I'm sure that Rich and the council or somebody will listen to it. I'm not concerned. The only thing I could see that would ever be a problem potentially from the citizens might be the rural land use that's offered there. Now, I know many of these processing facilities for slaughters, what we used to call slaughterhouses,
abattoirs,
are rather closed environments. I get all that, and that probably would work, but I just think that I'm not sure the citizens would enjoy thinking about that happening there. Other than that,
can we go through the list and do yes, no's, maybes? You can if you like. We already have housing, no. Scrap, rendering location, no. Remediation for the River Mercury, yes.
Well, that's not, it's under industrial plans.
Yeah, it's already allowed. What is assembly land uses? Would that be a church there?
Yeah, churches, meeting facilities, restaurants.
They're violation of that already, right? With that building, educational and whatever building that's there, where we meet.
That would be ancillary use for the meal.
That's how it was listed as.
Yeah, well, they need to get together.
Educated training center.
You can spin this rascal all kinds of ways.
Oh, sure. So we can't put a casino there?
Not yet.
Nope, we need a tribe.
No, well, the one in York probably got voted out today, so.
Yeah, so it sure sounds that way.
Well, I'm going to go vote.
Are we going to go through the list, or are we going to go?
Thank you, Mr.
Adjourn some other time? So we can let George go vote.
Okay.
Thank you.
I could just write him in early dismissal or something like that.
I mean, if you want to take some time and read through them and.
You all have a copy of the land use ordinance?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one?
Yeah.
We all have one. So that has 25 pages of land use tables that tell you what you can and can't do. So if you want to do the exercise, then I don't think you all have your tables in front of you. It's maybe at the next meeting, come with your ordinance so you can actually look through the tables and see. If you want to do this exercise, that's the way to do it. You got to have the information in front of you. So you're making informed decisions or informed recommendations. So maybe this isn't a good time to do it right now because you're not really prepared.
What happened to the Sartell site? Is it Sartell? The other
Sartell, Minnesota.
What's that?
Sartell, Minnesota.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an ID district. It was changed to a residential district, and it has not been redeveloped.
Did they leave it in the same condition that ours is in right now?
As of the last report that I've heard, but it's been a while since I've seen
anything. Nice.
The problem they're claiming is the fact that it was changed to a use that it wasn't. People didn't think that it would lose people there.
Who?
Sartell is one of the other sites that
But whose problem was it that the thing had been changed, that the land use had been changed?
The planning board changed it.
Yes, and who had the problem with that? AIM? Or the
Well, AIM was saying the reason why they have been able to sell it, get it redeveloped is because the use was changed from industrial to residential and people didn't want to locate. They were hard time finding someone to buy the land because they didn't want to locate residents in a former industrial block.
Which seems to be a good reason for us to be a little more cautious about how we zone this.
Fiddle with mercury and things like that.
More than me, isn't it?
Would your kids.
Any further discussion on anything? That brings us to.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?